Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods. 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Another day in what's expected to be the busiest holiday travel season in years. So far, air travel has gone smoothly with very few cancellations, but AAA spokesman Doug Shoup says to be prepared.
Just be patient and be kind. All of the folks at the airports and on the planes, they're working as hard as they can this holiday season to get everybody to their destination.
Two Colorado paramedics convicted of criminally negligent homicide of the 2019 death of Elijah McClain, a black man who died after he was detained by police that injected with ketamine. The Supreme Court denied a request from special counsel Jack Smith to rule on former President Trump's claim of immunity from prosecution, requiring it instead to follow the usual steps through the court system. And the UN Security Council adopted a resolution calling for safe humanitarian access through Gaza. The U.S. abstained from the vote, saying it did not go far enough in condemning the October 7th attack. This is ABC News. Prosecutors in Idaho have been visiting the off-campus house at the university where four students were stabbed to death last year. They're collecting evidence before the building is torn down next week. But the planned demolition is upsetting the families of some victims. ABC's chief legal analyst Dan Abrams says of the process,
"This belonged to someone who donated it to the university. The university owns it. So the idea that they're going to be able to stop an entity which owns a piece of property from demolishing their own property when both the prosecution and the defense have said we're ready to move forward without it, it would be a real long shot. And so I don't think we're going to see it, although you never know if something is filed at the last minute."
A neighbor of actor Charlie Sheen arrested this week after being accused of assaulting the actor. Elektra Schrock arrested for assault with a deadly weapon after authorities say they responded to a battery disturbance call on Wednesday. There's been no comment from Sheen's representatives. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. College students in Wisconsin promised to push back against new limits on diversity and inclusion efforts. Mike Moan reports.
The Board of Regents approved a deal pushed by Republican lawmakers to freeze DEI hiring so that schools could receive state funding for staff raises and campus construction projects. Jesse Segarra of the Wisconsin-based group Leaders Igniting Transformation sees the outcome as a dangerous precedent. She hopes student groups will be motivated to push back.
Student government associations in Wisconsin hold a great power and privilege to speak on behalf of the students, especially with working with chancellors and administrators and the dean of students.
Segarra says she's encouraging these associations to use their resources to support diversity efforts, encouraging students to attend meetings. Republican legislative leaders contend DEI programs are divisive. Their arguments come amid growing cultural debates at colleges and universities across the U.S. Segarra says diversity, equity, and inclusion programs were a tremendous help when she attended college in Wisconsin. She feels they can set students who feel they don't have a voice on a better path.
All students benefit, and especially students who come from different backgrounds, whether they come from big cities, small cities. Everyone benefits from these resources.
And researchers with Texas A&M University say their look into a specific DEI plan revealed an increase in enrollment for Latino students, among other positive benefits. However, the study also found that despite these efforts, students felt that people on campus still tended to stay within their own identity groups. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
There's a party on your radio every Saturday morning between 7 and 9 a.m. on It's Polka Time with me, Craig Ebel. You'll hear the latest in polka releases, as well as your old favorites, too. So tune in every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to It's Polka Time, right here on 98Q Country.
Ma and Pa and Grandpa, too, for It's Happy Polka Time.
It's Polka Time with Craig Ebel on WCQM is proudly sponsored by Jack's Corner Bar.
Packers coach on the hot seat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' Joe Barry spoke to reporters. After nearly three seasons with the team, the defensive coordinator could be on his way out. After back-to-back losses to the Giants and the Buccaneers, what's it been like this week after hearing fans want him fired?
You deal with it. We had a bad game. I have to be better for our guys completely. And I put that on me all the time. But yeah, this week was in particularly hard.
NBA, the Bucks get another win at home, this time 118 to 114 over the Orlando Magic. The Bucks have now won 15 games in a row at Fiserv Forum. Adrian Griffin.
For us, it's taking advantage of that home stretch, being able to play in front of our crowd. Now we got three tough games on the road in New York, two against the Knicks and then Brooklyn and in with Cleveland. So it was good that we took care of business, but now we got to shift our mindset, to get on the road and try to get some road wins.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. A dense fog advisory continues. A mixture of precipitation likely, with fog in spots today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 42. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 37. Isolated rain showers likely, with fog in spots early tomorrow. Highs level off around 49. Highs around 45 Monday, with isolated rain showers likely. Rain likely early, then becoming mixed precipitation, 36 on Tuesday. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 36.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the network by demand or by watching this on YouTube. That's Dan Amundson over there. Dan, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. I can't believe it's Christmas already.
Yeah, it's that time. It's December 25th week. So, yeah, it is that time. I don't know where I was going with that. I really kind of just started saying words for the sake of saying words.
Good. We're trained professionals, ladies and gentlemen. Do not try this at home. No David Eckhart this week.
Where'd he go?
Oh, he's not here. I guess he decided to work today at his real job or something. I'm not quite sure. But
what does he do in the winter?
Not quite sure.
I don't either.
Well,
I clicked on David's tab. That's what popped up.
Okay. It's just an empty chair over there.
Well, no, it's my face still.
Oh, different camera. Camera two.
Yeah.
Camera one, camera two.
Sure.
Camera one, camera two.
Riveting start to this show.
Some really interesting things taking place in the outdoor world this week. We're going to talk about somebody trying to land a plane on Red Lake to go ice fishing.
Huh?
Glad everyone is okay. First thing I'll say right there. We're also going to talk about the release of wolves in Colorado and what that might mean, what that could do to the economy, what that could mean for hunting in Colorado, what that could mean for arguably the number one destination for elk hunters in the United States. It's a big, big thing. We've got some cool stuff lined up here for you. Joe Henry's going to join us. Also, I'll talk to Danny Thompson from Garmin about why he likes to deer hunt so much. First, though, who are the sponsors this week on the show?
Live Target. Match the hatch at livetargetlures.com. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan an ice fishing trip this winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybill Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake this winter. Learn more at haybillheights.com. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. The new season starts in January. Watch episodes anytime, though, at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
Did you going to be all right there? That was a lot of words.
Yep.
Not as much air. All right. We've got a brand new North American Waterfowl podcast episode available on our YouTube channel, also at sportingjournalradio.com. We talked to Nick Dockin. He's a researcher in Alaska. He bans a lot of waterfowl. He's got one of the wildest stories I've heard of a banded bird that he personally banded and then personally encountered again in Arkansas. So he put a neck collar on it in Alaska and then saw it again in Arkansas. I'm not going to give away how he saw it in Arkansas or what the encounter was like. You'll have to listen to the podcast. Download it wherever you get your favorite podcasts, or if you're on our YouTube channel right now, just look for it in our videos right down here below. Check it out. And if you got a crazy band story and you want us to talk about it on the North American Waterfowl podcast, get a hold of us and let us know. Dan, somebody listened to one of our shows last week and emailed us and said he's got a band, a waterfowl band from 1940.
No way!
I didn't.
That's what I said.
I didn't even know they were banning birds back in the 40s. So I don't know anything more than that. We're going to try to get to the bottom of it and talk about it on the North American Waterfowl podcast. So check it out. Another rescue on Red Lake.
Which one?
Yeah, there's a couple of them, I guess.
Airplane or just the four, you know, your normal ice fisherman on a four-wheeler and side-by-side or walking?
I mean, I don't, obviously the person that crashed the plane feels bad about the situation.
Does he, though?
I don't know. I'm glad they're okay, but they're not driving. I don't know what those planes weigh, but they're not driving out there. They're barely letting, I'm guessing it was all foot traffic, or do they have ATVs?
There's been ATVs going, but even so, I would assume a Cessna, whatever kind of Cessna it was, I know it was a Cessna. Here, I'm pulling up the Facebook post. Probably weighs more than your standard Honda Foreman Rancher or whatever you've got for a four-wheeler.
2,300. So I don't know which model this is, but we're looking at 2,300 to 2,500 pounds probably. So that's probably a little bit too much for 2 inches of ice.
Well, and let's be fair, he didn't really plan on landing on the 2 inches of ice, it sounds like. But either way, there 35 people had been rescued off the lake like a day before this. So let's run through your thought process here. Huh, they just rescued 35 people off. Hey, Jim, you want to take the airplane up to Red Lake and go land it on the lake and catch a walleye? Brilliant.
Cessna 172 Skyhawk empty weighs almost 1,700 pounds. So even, yeah, I don't know. How many people were rescued?
Well, out of the airplane or the first rescue?
The first rescue.
35. At least.
Did we hear, I mean, any details? I just heard they were rescued. Do we know any of the details? That obviously a crack opened up and widened.
I'm sure that's what happened. I don't know. There's not really too many more details you can go into on these kind of stuff. I mean, there's not, the thing with these ice rescues is unless somebody falls through the ice, there's not a whole lot of technical work going on. Maybe they had an airboat, maybe they didn't, or they were just pulling people across in the little lifeboat thing. There's really, like, it always makes a headline, but there's not, when it's just ice that floats away, there's not always a whole lot of excitement. There might be a guy or two in the water guiding that boat across, which is cold. Other than that, it's not fun. It's a lot of work for a fire department or rescue teams, but it's not super exciting when you're the guy standing on the ice, and I can tell you from experience.
Yeah, we're not going to make fun of the people too much that had to be rescued, because somebody, there's two people in this room, and one of us had to be rescued a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Without saying any names.
Well, yeah, I'll be honest. It wasn't, like, in hindsight, yeah, probably shouldn't have gone with the heavy winds. I, to be honest, didn't look at the forecast that day to see there were heavy winds, and that's what blew it open. But what's getting frustrating is this has been I shouldn't even say I'm frustrated. I have no reason to be frustrated. I have no stake in Red Lake. I'm not going up there. But all of us have been sitting at home looking at this weird start to winter we've had. It's been warm. It's the ice is doing this and that. You've already seen a lot of posts from the resorts on Red saying, you know, they have to close down for a few hours or a few days to fix their access. And that's good. They're doing a good job of that. But, okay, so you get the day where you're going to have, you already have weird ice. Now you get a day with a heavy northwest wind. Maybe say, hey, if we're on the north side, let's not go out. Like, I think I said to a few people that day, down here, if there are people ice fishing on our local lake, they're going to have to get rescued because we went pheasant hunting along the lake, and how quickly did that ice open up? And I know that's further south, but
it opened up.
It's common sense.
It opened up a lot, and I went back there 2 days later to see how much more it opened, and it was astronomical how much that lake had opened up.
Yeah, and I know we're 4 hours south, so we're warmer. We don't have as much ice. But the idea is still the same. Look at a satellite image, at least as of this recording. There's still plenty of pockets of open water. Clearly, there's spots with really thin ice. Like, let's start using our heads here a little bit and learn from the past. And
yeah, it's not worth it for fish.
No, and you can, again, I feel like I'm a big hypocrite saying this because I was one of those guys. I was young and stupid and did that. Got excited about going to catch fish, but
that's what we learned.
We learned, and so check your weather, check your wind, and I hate to try to point fingers at resorts, but maybe people are opening their accesses. That's always a fine line. I don't know if people who open their accesses should be held liable, because at the end of the day, it's the angler's choice to go. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe you don't need that $10 so bad. Maybe or jack the price of your beer up a little bit.
It wouldn't be like we wouldn't even be at this point if it didn't happen every year. It seems like, at least in recent years, I feel like it's been happening every year.
Yep.
And history repeats itself. But learn, people, learn, pay attention, think about these things.
And I hate to say this. This is going to sound terrible. But you know why people, I think why people haven't necessarily learned a lesson? It's because nobody's gotten hurt.
Yeah.
Nobody's died. So they think, you know, the average guy, think, okay, what's going to stop me from doing that again? What's the worst that happens to me? I have to leave early. I get kind of a cool experience. I get to take a picture with rescue teams and airboats out here. It's kind of fun. It's going to make a cool post on social media.
Well, maybe they need to be charged what that rescue costs.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know how it works at Red. And a lot of rescue crews are different. You've heard stories of people at Lake Superior that either have to leave their gear or like the first time they get rescued, it's free. If it happens again, they have to pay. I don't know how it works at Red. The time I was there, I was never told of any charge, but to be fair, we didn't call any rescue team. We were on the ice and, someone came out and got us. So I don't know who called or who reported the incident or what happened there. So I don't know how it works up there. Again, every crew is different. And that goes for any crew across the country. You're going to have different department standards, this and that. So I really don't know how it works. But, yeah, maybe they need to be charged. Maybe they need this and that. And it's unfortunate to say someone might get hurt, and then people might learn their lessons after it's too late.
If you know the answer to that, comment below. Yeah. Let us know. And know this, now that Dan's on the fire department here, if somebody were to get stranded, I don't know if you'd be involved in that rescue or not, but people obviously are, and now you're putting their lives potentially at risk in a bad situation. So think about it. Just be smart about it. I mean, I know I'm overcautious when it comes to ice fishing. A lot of that stems from the fact that I like to hunt until the hunting seasons are over. And usually by then we have pretty almost drivable ice. This year may be an exception. But just be smart and be careful out there. And we're glad everybody is okay from the multiple rescues on Red Lake. All right, we got to take a quick break. I want to talk about this wolf release in Colorado. They just released 5 wolves into Colorado. It's a big deal. You might say, oh, 5 wolves, big deal. We got 2,800, 3,000, 4,000 of them here in Minnesota. We're going to talk about what could happen in Colorado based on what's happened here, what's happened in Yellowstone. All that plus Joe Henry and Danny Thompson coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has 2 styles, 2 sizes, and 8 colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eel pout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in right here, wherever you're getting this or watching this on YouTube. I'm Brett Amundson, along with Dan Amundson. Colorado just released five wolves as part of a reintroduction effort. It's 3 years in the making. In 2020, voters narrowly passed a ballot initiative allowing wolves to be reintroduced into Colorado. Is 51% to 49%. So pretty slim margin of victory there in Colorado. And they released these five wolves. It was a majestic sight if you talk to some of the people that were there. I don't know. It's the first voter-mandated reintroduction of the endangered species in the United States. And I don't understand it. Some people are saying one biologist that was there said it was a crucial, this is a moment of rewilding. So if you remember the conversation we had with the Sportsman's Alliance last week, that's what he talked about, was rewilding. They're working to rewild the entire United States, and what that effect that's going to have, in a sense, that's going to reduce the game populations that we have, which is going to reduce the interest in hunting. And to me, that's the number one goal here. According to this biologist, though, this rewilding is doing something to stave off the biodiversity extinction crisis we are living in, to make a difference in this era of extinction. Let's be clear. Wolves are not extinct, okay? Wolves are not extinct. They may not be in Colorado like they were 100 years ago, but a lot of animals aren't. And that's just the way things are going to work as human evolution takes place and the world changes and wildlife adapts to their surroundings. Do I want to see wolves extinct? No, of course not. But let's be clear here. You're just going to create a bunch of negative situations. Let's break some things down. According to the Colorado State University Extension, elk and mule deer would be the primary prey of these Colorado wolves. Over 430,000 mule deer live in the state. Colorado also supports over 280,000 elk, the largest elk population of any state. Now, I'll be curious to see what those numbers look like in 10 years. When wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone, the elk population went from around 20,000 to 5,000 in just a few years. It changed the ecosystem that's still being researched today. It's increased the beaver population since willows aren't being browsed on as much anymore. So that's changing the way the waterways work. There are some environmental benefits to that. There's obviously going to be some negative impacts to that as well, too. Wolves were once the most widely distributed land mammal worldwide. Today, they inhabit parts of North America, Europe, and Asia. As long as people tolerate them, wolves can persist in regions with many people. As long as people can tolerate them, that's the key takeaway there. Since most people don't live where wolves are, of course they can tolerate them because they don't have to deal with them on a daily basis. A lot of wolves live in Minnesota. We have 5.6 million people here, whatever it is. For comparison, Colorado has 5.8 million people. Colorado's population is heavily concentrated in the Front Range with only about 10% of the residents living in the Western Slope. That's where the wolves are going to be. So 10% of nearly 6 million people have to deal with what 90% of the state doesn't have to deal with. And the majority of the people in that state just voted for that 10% to have to live with wolves. Another comparison, over 11,000 wolves live in Europe, including near large cities. This is about twice as many wolves as the 6,000 that now live in the lower 48 of the U.S. This is according to Colorado State Extension still. And what's hunting like in Europe now? The big game animals. It's not like it once used to be. Sweden, Norway, and Finland in 2022 just had major hunting seasons to reduce the wolf population. The reduction is to maintain population goals and reduce negative human interactions such as big game predation, hunting dog kills, and other factors. Now, with Colorado releasing these wolves, what does that mean for the Colorado economy? Well, in a 2016 article in the Post Independent newspaper in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, they get more than 250,000 licensed elk hunters. More than 10,000 of them will hunt just in this local area where this newspaper's from. Elk hunting is Colorado's top big game draw. They have a 22% success rate. Mule deer hunters have a 50% success rate. They sell more big game licenses in Colorado than they do in any other state. They harvest more elk than any other state. In 2016, $919 million went into Colorado from hunters. You reduce that elk population, I don't know if it would be as dramatic as what the reduction in Yellowstone would be, but you're talking about millions and millions of dollars that could disappear from Colorado's economy. Together, hunting and fishing in Colorado bring $3.25 billion. Hunting and fishing also support more than 25,000 full-time jobs across the state. License fees from hunting and fishing also support jobs in conservation and allow Colorado's conservation programs to operate without reliance on tax funding. Could you imagine if all those wealthy people in Colorado all of a sudden had to pay taxes to support all these things that hunters and anglers pay for now? Things would come to a halt in a hurry. So if the elk population were to drop almost 75% like it has in Yellowstone after the reintroduction of wolves in Colorado, there's going to be a huge economic impact, loss of jobs, loss of tourism, and a lot of unhappy hunters and business owners. Small towns might disappear, which ultimately is what a lot of these people that are against hunting want. They want everyone to live in big cities where, ironically, they're probably doing more damage to the environment. So we have to be aware of what's going on in these other states. Obviously, we're well aware of what's going on in wolves in Minnesota. So this thing that just took place in Colorado, yeah, they brought wolves in from Oregon. If you're watching this on YouTube right now.
Sam Soholt is brilliant.
That's hilarious. All right, real quickly, before we move on here, I want to talk about Pheasants Forever. I just want to thank Pheasants Forever for using one of my photos on their latest issue of the Journal of Upland Conservation. See if I can show this without the glare. Some hen pheasants flying through the snow during the winter, flying into a food plot. Thank you very much, Pheasants Forever. I had a few people disagree with my praise for this conservation organization, and their justification for their dissatisfaction was buying land, selling it to the state, and then reducing the property taxes that were going to the local communities with the state purchasing these properties. So I dug into it because I don't want to see local economies lose money. And one could argue that having the state hunting grounds brings new money into the area as well. But what it also does is it brings in PILT payments. So payment in lieu of taxes. Now, what does that mean? When Minnesota buys property and designates it a wildlife management area, they pay money to the county in lieu of those taxes. And they usually, one quote I got was there 98% of the cases, they're paying more money than what the local taxes would have been. For example, 2015, 70 acres was purchased in Stearns County. The PILT payments were $1,355. The tax payments the previous year were $645. So Stearns County received $710 more from the PILT payment than they did from property taxes. So there you go. PILT payments probably going to bring in more to the economy. Plus, you can increase your tourism base to that local area as well, bringing more money, more jobs, and benefiting businesses in those small town areas. All right, we're going to talk fishing. We're going to talk enough about money and politics and all that stuff. We're going to talk about ice conditions at Lake of the Woods, how the fish are biting, and deer hunting with Danny Thompson all on the way.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTEC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTEC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Looking for winter adventure? Might as well pick a place with over 1,000 lakes. Otter Tail County, Minnesota is in the middle of everywhere, offers a simpler pace, and has something for everyone. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eel pout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Ho, ho, ho. Greetings from Arnold's Lumber in Fifield, Wisconsin. Santa's favorite building and hardware store. Need a workshop upgrade? Our jolly staff is here to bring your building dreams to life. From the first nail to the final touch. We've got it all. Paint, windows, doors, kitchen magic, and more. Family owned since 1971, we know the secrets to making your home shine bright. Trust Santa's choice for all your building needs. Sing by Ron Ernst Lumber in Fifield and let the festive transformations begin. Celebrate the season of giving at the Park Falls Chamber of Commerce's new location inside the Park Falls Professional Building, 154 4th Avenue North, Park Falls, Wisconsin. Unwrap holiday savings with our coupon books available for just $20 at the Chamber office and select members. Spread joy with warm wishes for a safe and enriching holiday season. If you're new to the area, call 715-762-2703 to discover the Chamber's services and let us welcome you. Join us in thriving together in northern Wisconsin. Become a Chamber member today.
See dependable, made in the USA appliances at Akron Appliance and TV, downtown Medford. Appliances by KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, and Amana in stock. Whether it's just one piece or an entire kitchen suite or new laundry, they have something for every budget. Remodeling or building soon? Now is the perfect time to lay away a new appliance package, and they can hold it until your project is ready. Interest-free financing is always available on your new appliance package, and always service after the sale at Akron Appliance and TV, downtown Medford.
Want to start saving money today? Well, you're in luck. The 98Q Country Shopping Show is always available online at 98QCountry.com. There you can find local businesses such as nice restaurants or fun shops. Located in Phillips, Prentice, Park Falls, Minocqua, Mellon, and many other locations in the surrounding areas. Save money with 98Q Country today.
Two hours ago, Kyle arrived at the bar.
Hey, what's everyone drinking?
30 minutes ago, Kyle got his friends another round of drinks.
Cheers!
5 minutes ago, Kyle decided to drive home drunk. A minute ago, a law enforcement officer pulled up behind Kyle.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
A chain of events that began 2 hours ago is about to change Kyle's whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
This weather update is sponsored by Hanson HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98Q Country weatherology forecast. A dense fog advisory continues. Mixed precipitation likely, changing to all rain, with fog in spots today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 42. Southerly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 37. Isolated rain showers likely, with fog in spots early tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 49. Cloudy skies expected. Temperatures well above average Monday and Tuesday, with highs from the low 40s to the mid 40s. Showers possible both days. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98Q Country. Right now, 37.
This is Sporting Journal Radio,
presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Now we're going to head up to Lake of the Woods, check in with Joe Henry, get a fishing report and an ice conditions report with Joe from Lake of the Woods Tourism. How's it going, Joe?
Hey, Brett. I'll tell you what. It has begun for most.
That's good to hear because where we're at down here, and it's right, we're right kind of on the border of the southern and central part of the state. And it's not good. In fact, I wouldn't ice fish in a lot of places. If I was going to ice fish now, I would go to Lake of the Woods.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you know, I'm pretty consistent. I preface this by saying, you know, there's a lot of Lake of the Woods. It's a big pond and ice conditions vary. We got open water in a couple spots yet, and we got 12 inches of ice on some areas. But I can tell you this, where our resort snout fitters are going out, the ice that they're marking and using, if they say it's good to go, it's good to go. Stay on the trails. Don't veer off. Don't go further out than they say stop, you know, because maybe ice conditions past that mark aren't ready. But I'll tell you something. Fishing, I had one resort say, fishing's better this year as starting out than it's been since 2005. Now,
wow.
Across the board, we're getting very, very, very good fishing reports. You know, if you don't want to take it from the tourism director, to jump on Facebook and look at some of the Lake of the Woods reports. I mean, it's just, there are a lot of fish being caught. Saugers, walleyes, nice walleyes, a lot of action, you know, mainly eater fish. Boy, some big saugers this year too, you know, some real nice saugers that, you know, that 14 inch variety, pretty common. So we're excited about our start, and we think that's going to lead to a really good ice fishing year overall. Those fish are in the basin. We knew that they were there this fall. We thought the early ice was going to be really good because those fish are staged out in front of the south shore in many different locations. There's also a whole bunch of emerald shiners that are holding them there. And sure enough, once we got our houses out to them, you know, those fish are there. It's game on. It's been really good.
It's good to hear that. And hearing about eaters, too, I know sometimes you can catch, particularly later in the year, you can catch a lot of fish, but sometimes they're not. You know, maybe you're catching some of the smaller sized ones. So to hear, I'd be all about finding some eaters up there, Joe.
Well, I tell you what, I'm all about, you know, first off right now, I think everybody has an itch to go ice fishing because it's been a long time for most. They haven't been out. Many people haven't been out yet. Secondly, when you can get the kind of action you can on Lake of the Woods where you can catch dozens and dozens of fish, you know, and of course I preface that by saying, obviously you got to be on the fish, but boy, I'll tell you, those fish, there must be a lot of fish out there because they're catching fish across that whole south shore. I mean, it's just amazing how many fish are being caught right now. And you know what? There's a lot of fish in Lake of the Woods. They estimate there's 10 million walleyes. And, you know, there's times you go out there and you don't catch the walleyes like you want to. It's like, where in the heck are these fish? Are they out deeper? Did they swim over to Canada? They're somewhere because, man, they're out in front right now. At least a lot of them are.
You know, I usually don't get excited about ice fishing until after the first of the year, mostly because it's still hunting season and I like to get as much hunting in as I can. And a lot of times I miss that early ice bite because usually by the time I start ice fishing, I can drive a truck out on the lakes. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case this year. In fact, I bought a snowmobile for ice fishing. What did I buy that, Dan? 3 years ago?
I don't know.
Something like that. Have not used it for ice fishing yet. Because either we haven't, well, pretty much every year I've been able to drive a truck about the time that I start ice fishing. So I don't know, Joe, with things being a little late, particularly in other parts of the state, but up at Lake of the Woods, it's probably a little bit of a later start too. Do you think that early ice bite will last a little bit longer this year?
Oh, I do. I think there's a lot of fish out there, and I think that we're going to have good fishing. I think it's going to be a good ice fishing year overall, but I also think that bite's going to last pretty darn good. And, you know, I think that right now, I would say this. If you got listeners who normally don't go up early ice, if there's any way that you could slide away and get that bonus ice fishing trip in, this might be the year to do it. We do have openings early ice just because things don't always get booked solid as they normally do. People don't know ice conditions, and the resorts are tentative to book too much because they don't know if there's going to be ice. But I'll tell you right now, what I would consider is if you get that extra trip in, I don't say this often, right now is a very good time to go. You know when your buddies call you and say, all right, man, it's time, you got to get up there. Right now would probably be one of those times I'd say, if you can get that extra trip in. And you know what? Get a hold of a resort. You know, you bring up your bucket of jiggle sticks and tackle in one bucket. Bring up your electronics in another bucket. Go up there and stay at a resort and have at her. Most of the resorts will shuttle you in heated ice transportation out to a heated fish house. It's on the fish. The holes are drilled. You step into 70 degrees. Pretty easy peasy. They'll even clean the fish for you. If you want to bring up your ATV, your side-by-side, your snow machine, just make sure that you locate one of the outfitters or resorts that's allowing that kind of equipment to go in on their ice trail or their ice road, and then make a game plan. And there's a lot of ways to do it, but safety first, and then of course the walleyes and saugers second.
The 12-year-old in me will always laugh when you say jiggle sticks, Joe.
That probably dates myself. I'll tell you, you know, and I'm sure you have a lot of listeners that are probably the same way. You know, when I was growing up, when I was in junior high and high school, and I'd go out there ice fishing, what I wouldn't have given to have some of the ice clothing we have, to have a one-man flip-over shelter, to have a small heater that you can press a button and have heat. You know, I can remember getting permission to use my brother's Coleman lantern, and I'd stay out at the cabin with him, and I'd get up at 0:30, and I'd go to the garage, and I'd pull that Coleman lantern out, and I'd make sure it's pumped up and full of gas the night before, but I'd fire that thing up, and that was always a little tricky, too. You light that match, you get it up there first, and you turn that a quarter turn, and all of a sudden, you know, if it's not spitting real good, all of a sudden, whoosh, that thing will fire up, you know, and then you adjust that lantern, and I'd walk out on that dark lake by myself, and I'd have to drill a hole by hand, and then I'd be sitting there sometimes 10 below zero, sometimes zero, and I'd be sitting there with one hole jigging away. And I tell you how cold my hands would get. I'd constantly have to clear the ice. Look at where we've come. And you wonder why ice fishing has become such a popular activity in the winter. I mean, now it's, you know, it's just so different. Even our resorts, Brett, up at Lake of the Woods, why are there so many sleeper houses available to people now? Back in the day, they had oil burners, you know, furnaces and they were very unreliable. How could you put people way out on Lake of the Woods with a somewhat unreliable heater? And then on top of it, you didn't have cell phones. If something went wrong, now you just make a phone call and somebody's out there helping you right away. I mean, it just is so different, and it's different in a good way, but I'm kind of dating myself, Brad. I don't know if you remember those days, but man, I'll tell you, I still think my one thumb gets kind of cold quick because of me freezing it back then.
Oh yeah, the original ice shacks or ice fishing houses, structures, the plastic bucket, the 5-gallon bucket, the original ice fishing chair. All right, Joe, before we let you go here, do you have any words of wisdom for young Daniel?
Well, I'll tell you, young Daniel, luckily he's a good kid to begin with, so he's got that good base. But, you know, you always try to save time for somebody, you know. And, you know, Danny, one thing I would say is, you know, when you're in the business world, Danny, you know, one thing you got to think about is that, you know, that the saying logic tells, emotion sells. Not that you're trying to sell people all the time, but just know something. When you're trying to get your point across, you can explain things as much as you want. You're going to have a very educated prospect, but people act on emotion. When you get them emotionally attached, Danny, that's when things really happen. You keep that in your back pocket, you're going to become even more successful than you are today.
So if I just start having tears roll down my eyes, you'll give me money? That's what I'm hearing.
Well, I tell you what, I got a feeling you could probably generate some good money just with that mustache you got. I don't know if listeners haven't logged on to Danny's mustache, it's worth the price of admission just to log on to a Facebook page or a YouTube channel just to check out that stash. Danny, honestly, you must be getting some positive comments on that mustache right now.
To say I haven't received any monetary bonuses because of it yet. So I'll put my Venmo on the screen here or in the comments so people can Venmo me if you want. It's Christmas time. It's the season of giving. I'll shed a tear if you do.
There you go. Emotion sells.
You got to be darn proud, though. I mean, you take a look at your staff, you know, and I mean, you know, being that you're putting a lot of these interviews now on video, I mean, you got to be darn proud.
I'm rethinking that decision.
Danny, well said by your uncle, right?
Yeah, you and I, Joe, you want to start your own radio show with me, a video podcast?
All right, Joe, thank you for the words of wisdom for young Daniel. Where should people go if they want to book a trip to Lake of the Woods?
You know what? Hey, all the information, all the resorts, et cetera, are on our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra-point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today.
Come ice fish the famous waters of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. Experience full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper house options. From the northwest angle to the south shore, Rainy River and Baudette, the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, and northern pike. Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, best fishing anywhere. For more information, log on to LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties.
All in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt.
The number one hunting GPS app just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
It's the season for stress-free driving. Morgan Auto and Truck Center in Phillips, Wisconsin wishes you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Our skilled technicians provide festive service from tune-ups to towing. Explore quality pre-owned vehicles on our lot for worry-free auto care and holiday joy. Call Morgan's Auto and Truck Center on Highway 13 in Phillips, Wisconsin.
If you're in the market for a new tractor, you need to do one little thing. Discover a tractor with best value in class, a two-year bumper-to-bumper warranty, and backed by an award-winning dealer network. With some of the highest lift capacity and more standard features included than the competition, you need to check out TYM Tractors. Go to TYMOffers.com right now. Pick your tractor and the offer, and you decide if my idea was a great idea. TYMOffers.com. Go there now. You can thank me later.
Experience Empty Pockets' festive flavors. Enjoy crispy, grease-free, broasted chicken, perfect for a cold day or any day. Join them Christmas Eve Day, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for a special celebration. Saturday, December 23rd at 7 p.m., witness a Madrigal performance welcoming all current and former Madrigal singers. Indulge in their main specials now and after the holidays. Pterodactyl wings, $11 for four pieces or for half a chicken. Or six wings for $15 with fries and homemade slaw. Fridays, try their fish fry, two for $10 or three for $12. Don't miss Tiger Shrimp to elevate any meal. Empty Pockets, where taste meets tradition this holiday season. Join them for a joyous time.
Jingle bells are ringing throughout the Northwoods, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from Northwoods Community Credit Union in Park Falls and Ashland. Years have come and years have gone, but one thing has remained the same since 1953. NCCU's heart is always in the communities they serve, providing the latest in financial services to kids, teens, and the big kids at heart, too. See them on Facebook or stop in to one of their locations in Park Falls and Ashland. Northwoods Community Credit Union, federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration, and membership eligibility is required.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. A dense fog advisory continues. Mixed precipitation likely, changing to all rain, with fog in spots today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 42. Southerly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 37. Isolated rain showers likely, with fog in spots early tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 49. Cloudy skies expected. Temperatures well above average Monday and Tuesday, with highs from the low 40s to the mid 40s. Showers possible both days. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 37.
presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, Danny, how's it going?
It's going.
Yeah. How's your deer season been?
It's been kind of, I mean, I've had a good deer season. I was able to shoot a nice buck down in Texas, and I was able to shoot a real nice buck in Minnesota. Wasn't able to get anything in Wisconsin this year, but despite getting two nice deer, it was kind of a rough season. It just didn't seem like the deer were moving. October seemed to be pretty good. There was some pretty good movement around Halloween. We did have one good cold front early October that got them moving, but just not a lot of good encounters this year. I mean, I think I seen two shooters and I shot them, so it was pretty slow.
What got you into deer hunting?
I've been deer hunting my whole life. You know, I grew up in Minnesota. You know, my parents were into it. My dad was a big deer hunter, and so I just wanted to be in with the guys. And, you know, we'd go out hunting ever since I was just little, and took me up to my great-grandpa's farm and down to my grandma's farm, and just kind of always been into it and always been something that I just been super passionate about and just kind of love to do. You know, so much great opportunity around Minnesota and whatnot to be able to do it. So that was kind of the start of it for me.
Yeah, and then you started off by just leasing some ground?
Yeah, so, you know, I was young, had kids young, and wanted a place to hunt. I was living kind of in southern Minnesota and wanted to find a place to hunt. So I was just kind of looking around at every option and found a lease actually down in southeast Minnesota that was kind of a last minute thing. They wanted to get it leased for the season, so the price was right, and kind of started out there, and actually leased there for a long time. I even still kind of go down there, and I had that lease for 15 years probably. So really enjoyed it, shot a lot of great bucks there. You know, good hunting obviously in southeast Minnesota, but even still just kind of always had that desire to kind of own my own piece and really kind of live by my own rules.
You've hunted all over and started managing some property, northwest, northern Minnesota, central Minnesota, southeast, Wisconsin. What is it about that southeastern Minnesota area that you like so much?
You know, when I first started hunting southeast Minnesota, we had APR, so there's an antler point restriction. There was no party hunting, and just really the landscape, you know, it's very fertile, a lot of good agriculture down there, and it just really kind of lent itself to shooting some big bucks. And I mean, I shot my largest buck to date, 170-inch deer with a bow down there. A lot of other nice deer, and they're just there because there's a good population of them. You know, it was managed, you know, in a way where you could get a lot of does, but also had the opportunity at a nice buck. So it was just such a great area to go down and hunt. And plus the scenery of the driftless zone is just second to none.
You take that scenery, you take some quality deer management, and you've got the topography deer like. They can hide. They got the hills. They got the draws, the trees, and then all that ag around it. They got plenty of food.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, it's just a combination for growing big deer.
Yeah, it's a neat area down here. Do you remember your first buck, first good buck?
Oddly enough, like, and I think that's what drives me to deer hunt so much now is my first good buck. I mean, I didn't get a rack buck, you know, more than a spike or a forkhorn probably till I was in college. I would say probably around 2008 was probably my first deer that was worthy of really putting on a plaque. You know, we didn't do Euro mounts back then, but that was probably my first good buck. And then once I started hunting the southeast, I was able to kind of harvest a few nice ones.
You've taken a lot of steps to try to improve deer hunting on your properties, from having comfortable stands for your young daughters to hunt out of, to planting food plots and managing the property.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my background kind of is I went to the University of Minnesota for natural resource management, so I've always kind of had an interest in that, and I love the deer hunting part, but I think I really like the management and the you know, just conservation part of hunting, maybe even more so than shooting a deer. And it's kind of cool, you know, when you see a project that I do through, and you can kind of see the results of it, you know, where I'm sitting on a nice edge that I made next to a hinge cut or something like that with a food plot right over my shoulder, and you get a nice buck that walks through, and it's like, to me, that's kind of the success right there. You see it happen, but also see everything else that it does for the landscape, which I think is really cool, because
I mean, I've got red fox. I've got more rabbits around. We've seen some rough grouse here with some of the timber management that's gone on and just, you know, kind of the entire ecosystem that, you know, being a deer hunter, you can grow big deer and make the habitat better for them. But in reality, you're making it better for everything.
You've seen some of those big deer up close when you're not hunting.
Yeah, yeah, you know, especially on this property, I think the opportunity for some really big deer is here. And, you know, I had a really big one, well over 200 inches that was close by this year. Another really good one, 8-pointer that was around. Unfortunately, both of them are gone now. But, you know, I'm definitely able to see some big bucks. You know, hunting Minnesota, too, it's a big property. So there's a lot of deer that live on that property just because it's so expensive. And able to see a lot. Obviously, I shot one of the good ones, but, you know, seen a lot more there as well.
It's fun to be able to take a piece of land, put some food plots in, maybe cut some trails, try to manage it for the wildlife there, particularly deer, of course, and then have cameras set up so you can pick and choose and know what deer are there. Go, yep, we want to give that one another year. No, that one's a shooter this year, and then hunt that specific deer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, just like the amount of information you can learn about deer and specific deer, I mean, it's interesting how one big buck to the next can have a completely different personality, and, you know, their ranges can be completely different. You might have one, you know, bigger, older, mature buck that likes to kind of roam around a little bit, and another one that really just kind of stays tight to specific properties. So, you know, being able to use cameras and hunting a lot, you know, just having a lot of, like, observation sits, I'll call them, where, you know, I'm kind of just learning about the deer and their travel patterns. So, you know, a lot of times the deer that I'm after, like, I'm learning about them right now when they're a 2-year-old and they're a 3-year-old. So by the time I'm ready to shoot them when they're 4 or 5 years old, I've got a pretty good, you know, understanding of what those deer do.
Talk about some of the food plots that you put in and what you like to do.
Yeah, so, like, you know, on this property specifically, this is an 80-acre piece of land. It's pretty much all woods. And so, you know, kind of my limiting factors were food and water. So I wanted to make sure and get some food and water here. I have plenty of cover. I have plenty of bedding and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of, you know, took a look at the property. There was a start of a food plot kind of where both of them actually ended up. And I just kind of expanded upon those. So, you know, really looking at this area, there's a